Well, welcome. We're glad to be here today. This is the workshop on the world at our doorstep, reaching ethnic neighbors. Let me just briefly, if I can, introduce myself. My name is Mark Sigmund. I was in the pastorate for about 12 years. For the last 18 years, it's been my awesome privilege to be involved in various aspects of God's global cause. I've been to about 40 countries. I've led a dozen mission trips. Was the director of an organization that was involved in international leadership training for a number of years. And 4 years ago, I started a nonprofit organization out of my home called Global Impact Services. I work with churches, mission agencies, schools, businesses, organizations to help them basically do two things. One is to help them maximize their resources, and the other is to help them mobilize their people for greater global impact. And I do this in three ways: consultation, information, and presentation. I do consulting. I sit down with churches and agencies, help them think through and develop a strategic plan for how to take their global outreach efforts to the next level. Information, I do research projects. I'm going to tell you about one. I think if I have time, it's just really consuming my life in wonderful ways. And then presentation, speaking and teaching and so forth. let me get the rest of the commercial out of the way. I feel strongly about this. I've got some brochures on the back table that kind of explains the ministry here. Feel free to take that. Also, I've written a local church missions manual. It deals with the essence of 18 different essential areas of local church global ministry. I've got some good resource and evaluation tools in here. This normally sells for $39. I'm going to knock 10% off of that, so it's $35. And if you get it today, you don't have to pay shipping and handling. That cost me $8. I don't make anything on that, but it cost me about that much to get it out. If you don't have the money today, just fill out one of the order forms and leave it with me. You can take it. We can settle up later. But this would save you shipping and handling and a few shekels. And if I can be of help in that, and I'll be around through my next workshop as well. And really, I do recommend this to you. Another piece that I recommend, and it is actually number 3 resource on the bottom of your sheet. Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. Anyone ever heard of that? Good, I have a new audience. Again, there's a brochure on the back table and the study guide in the reader. You guys, this is the very best missions, education, and mobilization resource out there. It was started out of the U.S. Center for World Mission. Every year there are about 200 to 225 sites across the country that teach this in the course of 15 weeks with 15 different speakers in their areas of expertise. We cover the biblical, historical, cultural, and strategic aspects of missions. For church leaders, for your mission committee, for pastors, for missionaries that are going to the field, for those who are involved in ministry, this is an absolutely essential tool to it. I run the courses in Grand Rapids. You can go online and find a course. There's a real good course taking place here in the spring in Kalamazoo as well. There's one in St. Joe. If you can get yourself or some of your people to one of these things, it will literally revolutionize your church and its focus and those who are involved in it. So I highly recommend those two areas to you. All right. Well, we're here today to talk about a very, very important area. There's a few things I want to cover. We'll have plenty of time for questions and opening up those doors as well. But first of all, let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your work in our lives, for Jesus, for the cause that draws us here today. We ask you, Lord, that you'll use this time to strengthen us as only you can. And Lord, help us to gain a greater passion and vision for the nations that you have brought to our very doorstep. We ask you, Lord, that you will give us the right path to take according to your will. And we commit this time and what it's going to mean for our lives and your great global cause. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, what if I were to tell you, this is where I'm coming from, that as I understand the Great Commission, the Matthew 28 passage, that the main command is not go, because if you understand how the verse is translated, what Jesus is actually saying is while you are going. He already assumes we're going. That the core command in Matthew 28 is not make disciples. That's incomplete. The core command of the Great Commission, our greatest mission, is make disciples of all nations. That's the phrase. That word there that's translated make disciples requires some kind of a descriptor with it. Paul, it's like if I were to say to you, eat. Okay, Mark, do you want me to eat the handout? Do you want me to eat my lanyard? Or do you want me to eat those gooey donuts? It requires a descriptor. And so the command is not just to make disciples, it's to make disciples of all nations. If you'll accept that as the premise, then what if I told you that the Great Commission is not just make disciples, but make disciples of all nations? What if I suggested to you, morning sir, there's a handout on the back table. What if I also suggested to you that this is one of the greatest times in the history of the missionary enterprise? We are living in some of the most exciting days in terms of God's global cause. But as I tell you that, what if I also told you that by all statistics that are taken, still half the world, one out of every two people, has either never heard the name of Jesus or the gospel clearly enough to respond? What if I told you that? Now, what if I told you that God has brought tens of millions of people to the United States from other countries, many, many of whom are from some of the most least reached and underreached people groups in all the world? If all of those things are true, then I'm suggesting to you that our topic today is of very great importance. Because indeed, this is the Great Commission. Indeed, there are these great masses of unreached people groups. And indeed, God has brought millions of people from these nations and ethnic groups to our shores. And the dynamic and the freedom that we have of being able to reach them and see them come to Christ and let them have an influence and speak back into their culture in areas that we cannot get into as normal, typical, traditional missionaries is a dynamic that is very, very powerful. And so today what we're going to do is talk through some insights and some ideas into one of the most untapped and yet strategic pieces of God's global plan, and that is ethnic outreach, effective local ethnic outreach. And so that's why we're here. We're going to talk for a minute, as you can see on the outline here, about who is here, why we should reach them, and how will we reach them, and have some time for discussion. But let's take, you see in your notes there, I've got some blanks here. Who is here? The people groups in the United States, okay? Numbers 1, 2, and 3, 49 million, 37 million, 13 million. I listed the ones that are going in those blanks, and I listed them alphabetically. So African, Asian, and Hispanic fit in those first three. Anybody want to guess which one of those has the most here with 49 million of those three? Hispanic is first. 49 million Hispanics here in the United States. Next, 37 million. Who's next? African American. Very good. And then 13 million Asians. Okay, so that's the ethnic group. Now then, as we start to talk more about the religious group, Numbers 4 through 8 are either Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, or Native American. Of those, who would you guess has the largest population here in North America? Muslim. Approximately 7 million. And you'll see numbers all over the chart. I think this is a safe number. All right, who's next with 5.3 million? Anybody want to guess? Jewish is next. Very good. And then, okay, number 6, who's next? Nobody wants to be wrong. No, Native American is next. Number 7, we're down to Buddhist and Hindu. Number 7, Buddhist. And then number 8, Hindu. Ma'am, there's a handout on the back table. Now, when we talk about the unreached or the least reached groups, there's a little acronym that's used. It's called THUM. Has anybody ever heard of that? T stands for tribal. H for Hindu. U for the unreligious. M for Muslim. And B for Buddhist. So we often say, you know, who has the most least reached people groups that we need to work on? There's that THUM acronym to help us remember some of those things. But that's who's here in the U.S. And you look at these numbers and you realize there's a great horde of people that God has brought to our shores. I love this quote from Roberta Winter on your sheet. Like a master chess player, God has moved unreached people groups far from their homelands all over the world and plunked them down in the midst of traditionally Christian populations. Essentially saying, you have not gone to them, so I have brought them to you, now tell them. And if you knew Roberta Winter, she'd get right up in your face and tell you that. Well, this is who is in the midst of us. Who is around you? Either an ethnic group, or maybe you know an individual family, or single from any of these groups. Do any of you have any of these populations within your community or individuals that you know? Yes?
We live in a condo where there are 8 families in the building, you know, 8 different condos. And 2 of those just recently moved in. One we know is a Buddhist, the other we think is a Muslim.
Wow. Wow, just in those 8. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. Who else? Yeah.
Well, at Western Michigan University, there's just like and I keep coming across people from Saudi. I've come across a lot of people from all different countries. Saudi Arabia and Nigeria and Ghana and everywhere.
So are you at Western Michigan in some capacity, or you just know about it?
Just to go with it.
Great. Good. Others?
We have a relation with the Chinese people from a restaurant in Nuevo.
Great.
So we have a relation, and they gave us all the chairs from the restaurant because they want new chairs.
Oh, okay. They gave you chairs to use for your...
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Any others? People you've befriended, or yeah?
We have a Filipino boy that says fall under the Asian.
Yep.
They're an East group.
Do you know, either in your churches or area churches or other ministries, anything that's going on in terms of a proactive outreach to these different ethnic groups? Do you know of anything going on?
We just started the ESL.
Great. Great. Targeting just any internationals or who you're getting?
It's Hispanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, they are around. Yes, ma'am.
We don't have anything right now, but God just put this in my head this last week to start an English camp.
Okay.
And make it like, because we don't have anybody who teaches English as a second language, but to have like it be sort of fun and nobody has to be trained, but we can collect all sorts
Great.
Of people.
Good. Good for you. Good. There's some really creative ideas that meet some genuine needs. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. All right, I want to give you just a quick brief rationale. Why should we reach them? I want to make the case for this because I'm telling you folks, you talk to those who have done this kind of work, especially with some of these more unreached people groups, Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Native American work and so forth. It takes work. And it takes long-term commitment. And you've got to make sure that God is in this and He's leading you to this. We can't start the work and then leave it if it gets too difficult or messy. So I just listed a few things here. why should we reach them? Well, certainly it's part of the Great Commission. These folks are now part of our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. it seems obvious to me from some of these numbers above and what else is going on in this area that part of God's emerging plan in these days is to bring the least reached within the reach of our church. I've had someone who's really in the know in this telling me that ethnic outreach in the States is 30 years behind ethnic outreach overseas. I mean, they've come here and they've populated and we're just not as aware and proactively involved in this, and we're way behind on this. I mentioned the economic situation, doing what we should have been doing all along. You and I know the struggles that missionaries have to raise funds and get overseas. Our oldest daughter and her husband are missionary appointees with ABWE. And now get this, if the doors remain open, they're headed to Cairo. What a strategic spot. But it's still a struggle to raise the funds. And so my personal opinion is that we may have seen the peak of the overseas missionary force, and we need to do a couple of things. We need to be much, much more strategic in our deployment in terms of who we're sending and where. We have to be more strategic. But there's this door that's opened up. You know, our call is to reach the nations, and God's brought some of the nations to us. And the economic realities may cause us to start doing in that what they call global outreach. Everybody ever heard of that term? Global outreach in a local context. To do what we should have been doing all along and prompting us in that way. The value of ethnic ambassadors. Oh my goodness. This ties in with the rest. Let me just do all this. Leapfrogging obstacles to plant churches around the world at home. I put a little quote here. With ethnic people, there are no lines, no national borders. You reach, this is a real life example. You reach a Cambodian in Spartanburg. It's in one of the Carolinas. Then that person communicates with his family back in Cambodia. Next thing you know, he's passing the word on to family members who live in Australia or Russia. If we can reach someone here in the States and see them come to Christ and disciple them, encouraging them to be disciple makers and to be able to communicate and come alongside and encourage them, they can reach their own people, the others within their network here in the States, and send a powerful message and testimony back to their home. Again, getting in areas and ways that it's difficult for us to reach. So just take that as a few pieces of a case that we really ought to do this. All right. I want to run through these how will we reach some points. Let me just stop and see if you have any questions or comments first. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I find that a lot of foreign students that come here and they don't ever go back. And doesn't this break the problem that we have with foreign ambassadors?
Well, you're right. Some come here for education and go back, and some don't go back. I would say that you get somebody from that ethnic culture or that religious background coming to Christ and being a Christ follower, whether they're here or back in their own country. They can be ambassadors in some wonderful ways. I just think that's a very strategic thing to be doing. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you that we're so far behind. I was on vacation in Orlando a few weeks ago, and I talked to a Muslim from India, and he said there's already 18 mosques in Orlando, the Orlando area.
Anybody have mosques near them?
Have a Buddhist temple.
Buddhist temple. Yeah. Okay. Where are you from again?
Holland.
Okay. Right. There are five mosques already in Grand Rapids. That's where our areas are. Five of them. But one, a couple of new ones that are quite large and very beautiful. And, yeah. They're around. Yeah. All right. Let me run down here. By the way, when I go through this, I am speaking theoretically, but not totally theoretically. Let me share with you a story of something that I'm involved in, and then this is how some of this is playing out for us in terms of some of these very simple but very crucial points in terms of how to reach out. In our area, there's a group of mission pastors and professionals that meets together every 6 or 8 weeks just to network and discuss. And last December, a man from a church in Holland who's always been involved in church planting came to this meeting with a Muslim background believer. His name is Akshin. He's from Azerbaijan. He's actually a campus outreach director at Western Michigan University. Anyhow, this organization had already planted three Hispanic churches in the last 4 years in the Grand Rapids area. And now get this. About a month ago, they broke ground for a tract of land they were given. And guess what their unreached people group is that they're going to reach out in this community? Families with autistic children and their special needs. So they're going to have a community center and condos and tracts for houses and eventually a church to try to address the specific needs of families with autistic children. Isn't that great? Anyhow, we brought Akshin because he said, our group has prayed and we now want to launch an effort in the greater Grand Rapids area to reach Muslims with the gospel of Christ and the love of Jesus. Eventually, wanting to see ethnically sensitive churches planted, led by competent ethnic leaders within those cultures. So, long story short, they were having trouble getting traction. I told him I'd do this kind of thing. I was interested in helping. So I'm now the point person for this, and it takes up about a quarter of my life developing this. We have a network now of about a dozen Muslim background believers in the greater Grand Rapids area that we're consulting with to help think through strategies. And we've got about 40 churches and mission agencies who have already signed on to this partnership and network. And we're trying to figure out the best strategies. We're praying for and waiting for the right leaders to come to our attention. And then we're going to start working on church planting. That's going to get into a number of strategies, which I'll mention here. But I got to tell you, and we're just waiting on which doors the Lord is opening. I want to tell you this. 2.5 weeks ago, we met with three Muslim converts from Islam that were born and raised in Bangladesh. And that we really feel like has some real potential ministry leadership. And I think we are going to look back on that meeting that we had 2 weeks ago as the first meeting of a Bangladeshi church plant that probably is going to be launched sometime this spring. To reach the Bengalis, Pakistanis, and Indians, because those cultures will work together well. But we figured out there are about 200 people from these countries, at least, probably more, in the Grand Rapids area. And a few years ago, they tried to start a church. The guy showed me a picture. He had like about 50 people meeting in his basement. And some things fell apart with the leadership. But they are ready to go. I'm just so excited about this. Grand Rapids has a large Bosnian population. They're probably close to half the Muslims in Grand Rapids are Bosnian. So we have a large pool there, but we're waiting to find a couple of Bosnian believers to come and help us with this. We've got an Iraqi, an Iranian, an Egyptian. They're going to help us with an Arabic-speaking focus. See, all those different groups are going to require different strategies, even though it's under the umbrella of Islam. But there's cultural differences that will require us to have different strategies. So the Bengali church, we can put a sign in a yard and rent a building and put an ad in the paper. The Arabic church, ain't going to happen. It's going to be quiet. It's going to be underground. It's going to be cell churches, probably. But we have to figure out those strategies for different ones. So anyhow, we're just on the front edge of this, but I'm coming out of at least 6 or 8 months here so far of some some life issues. All right, so let me walk you down through these. How will we reach them? Stop me if you've got questions on along the way, or we'll have plenty of time for further discussion. And I've got a short little video I want to show you too that illustrates this. Okay, how will we reach them? If God is laying this burden on your heart as a family or as a church or as a network of churches or ministries, first of all, it's got to be soaked and bathed in prayer. We need to pray for insight and for courage and boldness and sensitivity and the right timing. If God is stirring your heart and the hearts of the few around you, just to raise awareness and passion within your church or your circle of influence, say, look, I'm getting burdened about this. Can we meet together and pray about this? Let's pray. Prayer isn't the last thing we do when there's nothing left to do. It's the first thing. I'm not going to belabor that point, but I'm telling you from what we've learned from our Muslim convert friends and those that have been involved in this ministry, this is one of those that just absolutely has to be bathed in prayer. So you start there. Second, evaluate. Evaluate your capacity, either again as a family or a group or as a church. What is your capacity and commitment of this for the long haul? And again, I will repeat, by God's grace, and I know He works differently at different times, but ask Him to plant this in your heart so that you won't just start and then when you hit a brick wall or a hurdle, you quit. Because this takes commitment. Do you know of anyone who's been involved in receiving refugee families coming from overseas? Anyone? This is a very exciting way, and I would almost bet you that no matter how large or small your community is, that you've got some families who have been resettled there. And what we've heard and learned is that if you can catch those families right away, even meet them at the airport, you're the welcomers, you're the ones who get them settled in and help them work through paperwork and all the stuff that it takes just to get set up, they will never forget you. You know, so in our area, we have a partnership going with Bethany Christian Services, but they have tentacles all throughout, and there may be some other resettlement services in your area. You can contact them and find out, hey, we'd like to befriend a family that comes in. There's one of the churches in our area in Granville that's doing this. Just to show you how demanding and time sensitive this is, they have a group of 20 people in their church, and they had to get that big to handle two families. I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes these people, if they latch on to you and you've shown them love, they can be very demanding of your time. And they may call you at all hours and almost expect you to come over. So you have to carefully walk through that and have boundaries and parameters. But you've got to be in this for the long haul. So that's why I'm saying evaluate your capacity. Explore. Who has God put on your doorstep? Are there ethnic groups in the area? People that have moved into your condo? Students? Individuals? Explore this. This is where I can help and want to help this group get going. Doing some demographic work, and there's ways to find out where these people are. But explore that in your area, and God might use that to help refine and define where He wants you to step in. Number four, networking. Who else is interested in doing this? If you have a larger segment of a population in your community that you know is going to involve more than your church, you know, you get this burden, you share it with your church, but then maybe you end up sharing it with other churches. Back to this situation that I'm involved in, after I did an initial networking survey and some demographic studies, we had a meeting back the end of May, and we had at that time four Muslim followers of Christ and maybe about 15 churches and agencies that met. And then through the course of the summer, we continued to work on that. And this meeting we had in September was the one where we had the dozen Muslim believers and about 40. And there's interest growing. So you get the word out within your circles that you run with and see who else is available and interested in this and planning this burden. And then at that point, you might be ready to select your people group or a target area. It might be a specific people group, or it might be if you have a university close enough by where your focus is going to be on international students. That's a real key spot to reach them. And some of the hardest, the least accessible people, you mentioned Saudis at Western, and this is true at Grand Valley State in Grand Rapids. There are a number of Saudi students here, and there's a lot of good resources and networks for reaching international students. It's a real crucial time. Most of them are monitored closely in terms of having to go back, where, though, like this gentleman said, sometimes, you know, if they have a choice, sometimes they'll want to stay. But this is a very, very, and Saudi Arabia is one of the hardest nuts to crack in terms of getting missionary activity going on their soil in there. So, and somebody here who becomes a Christ follower and they go back there, you've done a great thing. So figure out what that target group, and then learn, study. Get personal exposure, have conversations, deal with some of the stereotypes. How many of you have, again, we'll just pick this as a random, how many of you have been around Muslims for any length of time or any conversations? Okay, a couple of you. When I say Muslims or Islam, what are some of the first thoughts that come to your mind?
Very hospitable.
Okay. You know that now because you've been with them.
Yes.
Okay, what's the stereotype?
Jihad.
Okay. They want to take me out to get to heaven. It's uncomfortable until you're finally around them long enough to realize that they are people with needs as well. I teach a world religions class at some of the schools in the area, and we took our class to the new Islamic mosque in Grand Rapids a couple of weeks ago, and the imam, who I've developed a good relationship with, we had sat down and just had some wonderful talks, calls me Mr. Moore, and I call him Imam Morsi. And we hug and we talk. But you know, it's like before, it's like, I'm a little skeptical of this. Right. And the students, as we debriefed afterwards, said, you know, the hospitable piece. And they were very quick to try to help get over the stereotypes. They think too much. They refer to the peace verses in the Quran and ignore the sword verses. None. Anyhow. But getting around and being exposed, finding out what, somebody said there was a restaurant. An ethnic restaurant?
Oh, yeah, it's an old.
Yeah. You know, you go there and, you know, you just, you observe and you learn and you get exposure and you develop friendships. This next one, number seven, strategizing. There's a, what we're discovering in our work here in Grand Rapids is there's a whole spectrum of strategies that need to be taken. From how do you make the contacts? Where are they and how do you make the contacts? Then how do you develop friendships? Then how do you open conversations? Then how do you develop that conversation into a spiritual discussion? Then how specifically is it wise to try to communicate the gospel with maybe Christ? Then how do you disciple them? And then where are you going to assimilate them? Then how are you going to mobilize them? And then how are you going to find leaders that will come out to lead them forward from amongst their own people? So again, it takes a lot of work, but it's a calling, it's worth it, and it's part of God's plan to think through all of those steps. And we're just learning how to do some of these. And I put number eight, just to be a friend. Now, I had before I head down here, with no other agenda, and I didn't like how that was worded, but what I'm trying to say is that you befriend them genuinely and not just as a means to an end. In fact, we have called our work with the Muslims in Grand Rapids, we called it the Friendship Project, to remind ourselves, as our Muslim friends have reminded us, that it's all about developing deep, longer friendships. It's investing in becoming a friend to them, to overcoming the stereotypes that we have about them and that they have about us, and all the history and the baggage that they tend to hang on to from the time of the Crusades and all that stuff. It just takes time to overcome that. But the best way that we've been hearing from our Muslim background believer friends is you just have to work on a friendship. And if you have an ulterior motive that you're trying to get to as quickly as possible, they will pick it up. So that's what I mean. That's kind of an end in itself. Obviously, it's more than just wanting to be, I want to be more than a buddy with Imam Morsi. You know, I hope there's a day when I can sit down and he wants to talk about his faith and lets me talk freely about my faith. And we share and dialogue and pick it up from there. But you can't come in with such an obvious agenda that, because they'll read it and they'll stiff on you. So that's what I mean about befriending in the context of all of this. So these are just some of the basic strategies that we've been thinking through and how all of this works out. All right. Your questions, your comments, your thoughts. Yes.
So, well, the thing about I mostly do what
you would
call street.
Street what?
Yes. Uh-huh. And, you know, if I go to Western, I encounter, in fact, I think I've written down, I've probably encountered 40 different people, mostly Muslims, and about 25% Saudi Arabia, and I just go up to them, because I know they're from a different country. And I have found out that, you know, you can't witness to them the same way that you witness to a Westerner, because, you know, we start out with John 3:16, and they immediately put up the walls and say, well, God doesn't have a son. And so I talked to a missionary to the Muslims, and he said, you know, use the Gospel of Luke. So I guess, you know, in the Gospel of Luke, we're not hitting him right away with God's son. But I mean, you know, these kids are like, you know, 18, 19 in their 20s. I'm not going to become a friend with them. And mostly they're men. Mostly they're young men. And it's very rare for me to ever come across a woman, because if we go out like after hours, the women aren't out. And I know that they say become, do friendship evangelism. But I mean, it's sort of like, you know, they're not going to be my friend. I'm not going to be a friend with them, and they don't want to be a friend with me. So I think I still have to just do witnessing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's kind of a foundational principle in a lot of situations, but you're right, there'll be situations where God just opens that door to start a spiritual conversation. Now, what we've been told, too, is that especially the Arabic Muslims tend to like a good, feisty debate and discussion, maybe more than some of the others. So maybe those doors will open sooner, too.
Yeah,
you pray for wisdom in that. Yes, sir.
The way we tried to reach these people when they moved in, they had this ceremony where they, you know, burned the incense, and I mean, it was an all-day thing, you know. They, you know, had the burnt candle there in their doorway, and over their lintel of the door, why they got this emblem up there and everything. And so they go through all this ritual, and we never complained, or it's right across the hall from us. The odor was pretty strong, but we never said a word. But I, you know, introduced myself, and, you know, learned their names, and Parthava and Sunita, and, you know, and all these strange names. But I wanted to, when I meet them, I call them by name. So I prayed for them every day, and we took them some fruit, you know, and some vegetables. And they returned the favor, and they began to exchange with us.
Good for you.
And so they have a little 7-year-old boy that he and I just kind of become good friends.
Nice.
And so I tonka car and things like that. And so they stopped by one evening. They brought some fruit over and gave it to us. They said they would like to have a meal sometime. And so we said we'd love to come. We'd like to have them come join us. So that's the way we're kind of doing it, just become a friend.
That's great.
Told them, you know, if you need something, why? And I've been able to help them a couple of times. Trying to be a friend
and
what.
Great. Awesome.
Where do I go from there?
Where do you go from there? Bathe it in prayer. Ask more about them. Who they are. Ask, you know, their religious beliefs and practices. Obviously, if they're doing the candle stuff, there's a religious connection there. The old phrase, first seek to understand before being understood. Again, they see this agenda. You know, and I'm not saying back off and be mamby-pamby and passive about it. There may be some times where the Spirit of God just really opens the door for you to march in and see where it goes. But, you know, I just try to take that friendship and that conversation to deeper and deeper levels. Yeah, that's a short. Yes, sir.
It's like sometimes you might kind of get the idea that, like, in my town, you know, we've thought previously it's like, you know, it seems like it's increased in recent years here in Kalamazoo. It's like just, you know, out here in the suburb area, it's like we think, well, you know, there, you know, it's just the inner city, like Chicago and stuff. You go to Chicago and you see that. You know, just the other day we were at Walmart, and it was like 11:30 at night, and it was surprising that how many different ethnic people of different ethnic backgrounds were there in the evening, and it was quite a difference. And we were like, "Oh, well, where have you been?" You know, and it was kind of surprising. And you know, you can't say that we don't have a mission.
Yeah. Good. You're being aware. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I have a friend that lives in Lorain, and then so Michigan. He lives in Lorain on the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Trap Rock Creek, and he's a very good friend. He came out of an airplane and skydived, and the chute didn't open, and he survived. Mm-hmm. And about 3,000 feet, and he said, God must be waking me up for a reason. And he has the license to teach people to drive. And so he went to Michigan Tech, and he went to the foreign students and says, I'll teach you to drive if you go to church with me. And I won't charge you a penny. And so we have in Bethany Baptist Church there in Dollar Bay a group of foreign students from different countries of the world that he's been brought to the Lord through his ministry there. And it's really opened many doors. And I suggest that if you're able to learn some skill that the foreign students need to have, like teaching English, or in anything, education, then use that skill to reach Muslims and Buddhists and what have you. With the stipend that they go to church with you.
You point out a good point that, again, strategies will vary according to the people group, will also vary according to whether they're permanent residents or temporary students, and what all that means. Yes, sir.
Algo que a lo mejor les puede ayudar a otros hermanos aquí.
Something that might be able to help other brothers.
Cuando empezó este restaurante chino nuevo,
I started visiting that Chinese restaurant.
Yo me presenté con la dueña y le dije que yo quería ayudarlos.
I introduced myself to the owner and said, I would love to be able to help you in any way.
No, dijo, ¿y cómo me ayudas? Tú eres mexicano.
And they said, how can you help
that airport? And you're a resident.
So I know some people who
can come
teach English.
¿Quieren aprender inglés?
Would you like to learn English?
Y todas las meseras dijeron sí.
All the waiters were like, yeah, that'd be helpful.
Entonces, le llevamos cursos de inglés y enseñándoles parte de la Biblia.
So we taught them English, but we used a curriculum and used part of it from the Bible.
Y ellos también son inmigrantes, ellos se mueven en otros lugares.
And they're immigrants, so like, you know, a lot of Spanish are able to play.
Pero todos ellos llevaron Biblias en mandarín.
But we got some Bibles in Mandarin.
Y la hija de la dueña del restaurante es no para venir a nuestra iglesia.
And the daughter of the restaurant owner wants to visit our church.
Great. We have to continually try to think outside the box. Be creative. And be more mission focused, even within our communities. I want to show, is that clip ready?
Yes.
I want to show, this is a 5-minute clip. This is called Six Ways to Reach. And the video encourages you to think in terms of being a learner, a goer, a sender, a prayer, a mobilizer. But this one is on being a welcoming, and a good illustration of how to be aware of and build these relationships with those people around us. Let's show.
Maybe they're calling me to the mission field, thinking I needed to go away. And then I realized that we have a mission field in the United States because we have people from every tribe and nation that come here. This is where my mission field is.
There are the professionals who are here getting higher education,
working on grants from their country to learn information. And then there's a group that comes refugees. I absolutely love the community working with refugees. They come with nothing. Two suitcases, and when they get here, they're given a little bit of money. It takes them a month before they get food stamp provisions, so they come with very little food, access to food. So finding a local food bank where you can either give out food or just visit with the people. They were living in the housing that they ever provided for, and decided that the neighborhood was not safe for their children. And they found a rental property and asked me if I would come along to see if it was a good property. He had these two applications to fill out. He helped me out the application to get all the materials that they needed to submit.
People from all over the world are coming to this country for education.
A lot of these people are going back into government positions, and very few of them getting to American homes. So it is the greatest opportunity for us to really reach out to these people and have an influence in their lives. If you want to know whether God's truly called you to be a welcomer, it would be to, first of all, get involved in your local missions program at your church. And ask them if there's a church member or someone who they're familiar with that might interested in learning English, or they're learning English and they need someone to talk to, and that would be the easiest first step to do. And you set up a time and meet in a non-threatening environment like Starbucks and speak English. And that would be your first step. And I can tell you, you speak to one of your new people and show them any kind of interesting kindness, and they will bring people to you.
With any of the internationals, they love when you're teaching them something. Some of them have wanted me to make apple pies, and others have shown me how to make other Chinese dishes. Delicious.
We also have parties on Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Memorial Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, anybody's birthday, lots of parties.
If I meet one person from another country and make them feel even that there's one person in the United States that cares about me, then I feel like I've done exactly what God asked me to do.
If these people who've been told all their lives that there is no God, the only way that they're going to come to understand who God is to see Jesus lived out in the flesh. And we're the only ones who can do that.
All right, any other comments or thoughts or questions?
These friendships will continue when the internationals go back home. And we used to work with internationals at Western, and a number of them, after they got back home, trusted Christ. Some saw and looked at Christ when they were out here.
There you go. Yep. Call be the witness. Well, just, you know, ask God for awareness of who's around you, open doors, pray through capacity and level of commitment, and then just start down that road and just watch God work. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
May I hear about how that pastor started this English teaching?
Chris?
Well, I have a couple in the church that the man, the husband, is involved in many firearms in America, where there are, literally, I was over there, where there's probably 1,000 Mexicans in that area. And so he began developing relationships with the family, so I had an in right there. And so then he began with his wife bringing their children to live life, vacation Bible school. We provided transportation for them. And then we just worked with the next step of setting up, after we figured out that we had enough manpower to do this.
Yep.
We got Michael Pasquale from Cornerstone.
Yes.
He does ESL. He's a prop over there, and he helped us get that started with curriculum, training, and so forth. And all we did personal invite. We didn't advertise yet because we weren't ready to advertise it because we don't have enough manpower. And we personally advertised. We're about 30 right now. And we had a beginning kickoff dinner. It was amazing the number of Hispanics that came to that dinner. We're planning... maybe a Thanksgiving, but for sure a Christmas dinner with them. And we're still in the building relationships, but one of the things that we emphasize is we want to offer a good product. It's the idea of the only reason why you're doing this is to share Jesus. I mean, that's our ultimate goal. We want to make sure that what we're offering is a good English class. You know, so that they'll come back, and they have been, and it's rolling. So that's how it took a lot of planning, but I had a couple that had a burden in our church for that people group.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You determine your capacity, how God seems to be leading you. Great, yes?
When I was down in Ohio recently, and I was in Columbus, and there was a group. There's a guy that I knew down there, and he was directing a dinner for international students. And he said that they, when they come from other countries, they don't want to kind of stay at their own place. They want to, get immersed in the culture and really understand the different cultures and stuff. So they were having a meatloaf dinner and mashed potatoes and everything, and they had a really big crowd of students from OSU, and that worked really well just to get to know people.
Yep, they want this. They're out there waiting. The world has come to us. Where we go today. All right, get you out a few minutes early. Don't forget about pick up a brochure, check out the manual. I'm around through a good part of the day to answer any more questions. May the Lord be with you. May I leave this word with you. Don't know who wrote this, but this has always spoke to me. It's a little poem that goes like this. Life can never be dull again once we've thrown the windows open wide and seen the mighty world that lies outside. Then whisper to ourselves this wondrous thing. We're wanted for the business the King. God has called us all to that in some way, to be part of His great global plan. Some of us are going, some are sending, some are in the learning stages, some are mobilizing others, some may welcome, some may pray, but we all have a part to play. May God give you the grace and the insight to know what part He wants you as an individual, as a family, and as your church to play in this great global cause. May the Lord be with you. Let me know if there are any other ways I can help, and thanks for your time.